We will continue our series in Philippians through Palm Sunday. We will actually end the series on Palm Sunday. Jeff is going to preach that morning. So I'm excited. It's been wonderful to be able to go through this book. And many of the ladies have been going to Bible study fellowship on Monday nights and hearing this book being taught by our own Brenda Peterson, and a number of our ladies are also involved in the children and teens ministry as well. It's exciting that kids are also diving deep into this book through Bible study fellowship. So through a variety of ways, the Lord is teaching us what it means to live in Christ, to live in joy in Christ through this book. And so it's Philippians chapter 3, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 7, and we'll go through verse 21. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things, and if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join with me in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. For as I have often told you before and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables Him to bring everything under His control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like His glorious body. Father God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for not leaving us on our own to try to figure this life out on our own, but we're seeing fit to communicate with us and communicating with us in the perfect way through your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that these words would not go in one ear and out the other, but that we would truly take them to heart. They would take root in our hearts, and then we would begin to put those into practice. It's in your Son's name, Father, that we pray. And all of God's kids said, amen. So Paul says in chapter 3, verse 10, I want to know Christ. And one of the ways that we've talked about our mission as a church is to know Christ and to make Him known. And so you knowing Christ lends to you having a natural expression of being able to share Christ with others. Paul says, I want to know Christ. I want to have this two-way relationship with Jesus Christ where I am hearing his heart for me, and I am expressing my heart for him. It would be a two-way relationship. And so for Paul, he is saying that knowing Christ is more valuable than all things. He's talking here about a return on investment. If you look at this passage, he had talked earlier on in this passage that, you know, if anybody could gloat or boast about the kind of life that they lived, and if there was anything to that, if there was any merit to that, I probably had it. You know, I lived in such a way. I was born to a certain family line, and so, but Paul, he says, all these things that I thought were going to profit me, I consider loss. And why would he consider it loss? Because he realized that all of these things really were not of value to him. In fact, if you were to turn up the page into Colossians, he says in the tail end of chapter 2, if you turn from Philippians to the right, just go to Colossians, to next door neighbor. But he was telling the Colossians, he says in verse 20, chapter 2, verse 20, since you died with Christ to the basic principles of this world, why as though you still belong to it, do you submit to its rules? Don't handle, don't taste, don't touch. These are all destined to perish with use because they're based on human commands and teachings. Such regulations indeed have this appearance of wisdom, but their self-imposed worship, their false humility, and their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any, what's that next word? Value. They lack any value in restraining sensual indulgence. You see, there was something that he had given himself to that he thought was going to bring this return on investment. In the business world, they talk about ROI, return on investment, and having the best return on investment. You know, if I'm going to invest money into this, that I want to have the best return for it. And Paul found that this was not the best return on investment. These things that he thought were so important to him. And granted, these were religious experiences for him, but for many of us, there are things in our lives that don't truly profit us. And yet we still consider them to be important, so important that we invest time, we invest energy, and we sometimes invest money in it, but it doesn't profit us. And so Paul says, you know, all these things that I thought were a profit to me, I know now that they don't profit me. In fact, there's only one thing and one person that really profits me, and that is to know Christ. So he says that, but whatever was to my profit, I now consider a loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared, there's a comparison he's making, to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost some things, I've lost all things. Discipleship, the true meaning of discipleship, this call of discipleship is to lose your life in order to gain it, right? You can write in your notes Luke chapter 9, verses 23 through 24, where Jesus is talking about, he says, whoever wants to be my disciple must take up their cross daily and follow me. You lose your life for my sake in order to find it. There are people who try to gain and get, and when in fact they end, you know, it's like, so what if I gain the whole world, but I lose my soul? What is really profiting me? And Paul, he says, you know, knowing Christ is more valuable than all these things. And he says, I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him. How many of you have really smelly trash cans at home, especially in the kitchen? You know, I made fish last week, and I didn't wrap it up. I had put it in the refrigerator on a plate, and I didn't wrap it up. And after a day, I was thinking, okay, well, maybe I can give it to Chianti, my dog. But then, you know, after I smelled it, I'm like, well, I don't even want to give it to her, right? And so I threw it in the trash can. I'm thinking, that might not be the best idea. Because it's going to smell up the kitchen, and it may end up smelling up the house, right? But you think of all that goes in, especially our kitchen trash cans. Paul is saying, these things that I thought profited me, I consider them to be this smelly, putrid, rancid trash. It's rubbish. It's garbage. I need to just toss it away. I need to throw it away because it's not valuable to me. What is valuable is knowing Christ. You know, I've made some poor investments in my life. One was we actually bought an RV many, many years ago. Bad investment. In fact, it wasn't an investment. There was no return on investment, right? But one of the earlier homes that we lived in, we were renting a two-bedroom, one-bath home in Napa, California. You know, beautiful sight. When they were getting ready to sell the home, they asked us if they wanted us to buy it. And they said, you know, we're asking $150,000 for it. Two-bedroom, one-bath home, one level, no basement like we were used to here in Michigan. And I thought back to when we had a home as a family in Plymouth, and I remembered that it seemed to me that the price of that home was $150,000. I mean, it was four bedrooms. I'm thinking like three or four bathrooms. You know, it was a decent home. We had woods out and back. Loved playing in there. And I'm thinking, $150,000 for a two-bedroom, one-bath house. I don't think so. So we ended up moving away because they wanted to sell the home. And 5 years later, Napa Valley went up so high in price that that home was selling for $350,000 to $400,000. That would have been an amazing return on investment. Paul is saying, you know what? There are some things in our lives that we think are going to profit us when they really don't. And what we need to do is consider them trash. We need to toss them away because there are some things that are more valuable. And in fact, what Paul is saying is there is one thing that is so valuable. All I need to do is say two words in terms of talking about the value. It's to know Christ, because there is value in knowing Christ. There is value that it brings to our family relationships. There is value that it brings in our friendships at work. There's a value in how we work. There's a value in what happens to us at school. We're going to look this morning at what Paul outlines for us in terms of what kind of value it brings our lives to know Christ. And the biggest one is by knowing Christ, we get right with God. Everybody say, get right. We get right with God. We also stay right with God. I don't know about you, but I can tend to stay out of trouble if I'm spending a little bit more time in the Word, right? You know, I'll get in less arguments with somebody if I'm in the Word a little bit more. There's value that comes in knowing Christ. And what do I mean by knowing Christ? It's this two-way relationship between you and Jesus, where I hear his heart for me and he hears my heart for him. Two-way relationship with Jesus, where I hear his heart for me and I express my heart for him. So what kind of return on investment is there? Well, we get right with God. Remember, Paul was talking in the earlier verses of this passage. He says, all these things that I thought I was living right, and he was, by outside standards. He says, you know, I was a Pharisee. I mean, this is the strictest sect in my religion. And if you were to look at my life, you would go, oh, Paul's impeccable, man. He just, you know, he lives his life for God. You know, he's just so zealous for God. He said, you know what? All the ways in which I was living, it was all based on me, my righteousness, what I was doing. And so Paul says that the only way that we can truly get right with God is through Jesus Christ. He says in verses 7 through 9, he said that, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I've lost all things. He wants to gain Christ. He wants to be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own, but a righteousness that comes by God through faith. This is a righteousness that comes because Jesus is the only one who lived the perfect life, and yet this perfect Lamb of God was sacrificed for us on a cross that we might have life. There is nothing that we can do that adds to what Jesus has already done. When he said, it is finished, it really is finished. When he said, it is finished on the cross, it truly was done. The work was completed. The cross was it. The work was finished. But Jesus wasn't finished because he was resurrected to new life. And so by knowing Christ, we get right and we can even stay right before God. we can, by knowing Christ, we can also experience life differently. I'm sure many of you have a variety of stories that you could tell about how knowing Christ helped you get through difficult circumstances. I don't know if you noticed that in all the songs that we sung, it talked about, and I even heard, what was the second song we did, Complete in You? I heard that on Caleb yesterday. And so when I was reminded of those lyrics this morning and trying to save my voice, but I just had to sing them, but it just talked about how that there is nothing that goes on in this life and on this earth that heaven does not have an answer for. And so by knowing Christ, we experience life differently, and specifically, we experience suffering differently, we experience death differently, we experience the past differently, and we look at our future differently. You see, when we know Christ, when we are growing in that relationship with Christ, we learn how he suffered for us. Paul said he wanted to, and this blows my mind, but he wanted to know Christ, and not only the, I'm all for the power of his resurrection, right? I mean, I want his strength to get through the day. I want his strength to get through those times when I feel down, depressed. I feel like, you know, everything around me is not going well. I want that strength. I want that power. But Paul says this really surprising thing. He says, I want to know Christ and share in his sufferings. For homework this next week, I would invite you to read 1 Peter. If you remember, we went through this, these two letters before, and all throughout 1 Peter, it talks about how we can go through suffering hand in hand with Jesus Christ, how knowing Christ helps us in our suffering. See, if we are in this two-way relationship with Jesus Christ, we suffer differently. I saw it in a professor friend of mine who was in such pain that it would be nothing for her that while she's lecturing, she's taking out a dropper of medicine and squeezing it into her mouth so that she could just get through the day. But it was amazing to me how her relationship with the Lord was so real and so awesome. Sometimes I felt like I was, whenever I would leave a one-on-one with Shelley, it was almost like I was talking to Jesus. She just had this deep relationship with Jesus because she wrote this in her book. She talked about pain being her friend. And then I think of a young couple who is now living in Chicago, Mike and Jill, and how they suffered through not only the loss of a couple miscarriages, but then the loss of Abigail. But then just their amazing faith. And those of you who know them and saw how they went through this, it was just amazing to me how much they still closely align themselves with Jesus Christ. They still wanted to grow in their relationship with Jesus Christ. And to be honest, I have a personal example in my own home. I watched my mom and just how she lived her life and how she wanted to know Christ in a variety of different ways and how she grew in her relationship with Christ and how many different ways that she went through suffering. And it wasn't suffering for being a Christian, but it was suffering, maybe physical suffering. It was sometimes emotional suffering. But because of her relationship with Jesus Christ, I saw her suffer differently. In fact, I never hardly ever heard her complain about some of the suffering that she went through. We suffer differently, and we see suffering differently when we know Christ and when we're growing in that two-way relationship with Jesus Christ where I'm hearing his heart for me and I'm expressing my heart for him. We also experience death differently as well. We see it differently. It's heartbreaking going to funerals where I know someone doesn't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And the hopelessness that exists sometimes in those funeral homes where people aren't talking about faith, they're not talking about relationship with God, and they just feel so hopeless and it just feels so dark. But then there are times when I have been with people who do have a relationship with God. And how sometimes even their home going, when they're taking their final breath and family members are around those beds and they're singing songs of praise. We see death differently. And why would we see death differently? Well, you can write in your notes Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 through 15. I just want to read this for you. It says this. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 through 15. Actually, I'm going to go through 18. It says, since the children have flesh and blood, Jesus, he too shared in their humanity so that by his death, he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. So not only does Jesus set us free from death, he also sets us free from a fear of death. We don't have to be afraid of death. Death is a new beginning. And he'll say in verse 18, because he himself, talking of Jesus, he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. So not only does knowing Jesus help us to see suffering differently, but knowing Jesus also helps us to see death differently. We don't have to fear death. In fact, Paul says that I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. And he says in verse 11, he says, you know what? Becoming like him in his death, somehow I want to attain to the resurrection from the dead. You know, people are all into watching movies and reading books and maybe even looking at videos online of people's near-death experiences. Well, there is no more accurate near-death experience than the actual death experience of Jesus Christ and coming back to life. And so when he tells his disciples in John and he gives them comfort and he says, listen, I'm going to prepare a place for you. We can trust him in that. He is one who died and was resurrected to new life. And Paul saw him as an example for us that we would have hope, even in the midst of death, that we would rise from the dead, that we will be resurrected as well. So we experience life differently. We experience suffering differently, death differently. We experience the past differently. Look at what Paul says in verse 12, and he acknowledges that he's not perfect yet. Anybody perfect yet? You can raise your hand. If somebody does, nudge them. I'm not perfect yet, he says. I've not gotten to this point yet. But guess what? I'm not gonna hang on to the past. In fact, I'm going to let it go. He says in verse 12, he says, not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do. Everybody hold up your finger. Number one. One thing I do, forgetting what is behind. Are you? Because it is so easy to get hung up on the past. Could be things that you've done, decisions that you've made. It could be decisions someone else has made, things that they have done. Paul says, because I know Jesus, because I know that Jesus dealt with our past on the cross, I can forget what is behind, and I can strive, I can strain towards what is ahead. I can forget the past. I can forgive someone of the past because Jesus has already taken care of the past. Are you forgetting and forgiving the past, either your own, which is sometimes very difficult? I mean, you can be theologically correct and know that God has forgiven you, but you can be practically incorrect when you're not allowing yourself to forgive yourself, to forgive yourself, to let those things go, to forget the past, because you have confessed those sins before him and he has cleansed you from all unrighteousness and taken the past away. But some of us are living our lives so much in the past that it does not allow us to enjoy the present. And you can forget about looking or straining ahead to the future because we're so hung up on the past. But knowing Christ allows us to forget what is behind and strain, strive, work towards what is ahead. So knowing Christ allows us to forget what is behind, but then it also allows us to strain and to strive and to work for this high calling that God has on our lives. He says, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on. Everybody say, I press on. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Anybody ever tried to get a prize? I mean, it could have been like, you know, in third grade, you were trying to get one of those ribbons, you know, when you're competing against other students, that kind of thing. But you know, if you've ever competed for anything, you know the work that it takes to strive for the prize. Guess what? This is a prize you don't really have to work for because it's a prize that's been given to you. But we live into that which we have been given. We've been given new life, and so we act like it. Our sins have been forgiven, so we act like it. They've forgiven, God has forgiven our wife, our husband, so we act like it. He's forgiven our parents, so we act like it. We live into that which we have been given, but we strive toward the prize which God has called us heavenward. Guess what? Our prize, you know, a lot of times we might be thinking, well, okay, so we talk about retirement, and we're working towards that. My pastor would always say that he's not working towards retirement, he's working towards refirement. I mean, he wants to be fired up about life, and he is just as on fire about Jesus and just as on fire about his call to make Jesus known, even in his 80s, that he was back in his 50s when I first came to know him. But it's not even just being fired up about what you're going to do in your 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s. Our call, our prize, is being able to see Jesus in all of his glory and being in heaven. Our prize is not that this can be your best life, heaven on earth. Our prize is in heaven, and that's what we are striving, in a sense, working towards. Forget what is behind and keep our eyes on Jesus, the one who's in heaven. You know, knowing Christ is more valuable than all things. By knowing Christ, we get right before God. By knowing Christ, we experience life differently. And by knowing Christ, we seek better role models. If you remember, there was this argument where Scripture was talking about how I don't want you to be in the world. Well, it's not that I don't want you to be in the world. I just don't want you to be of the world. And so it's not that I'm going to take you out of the world. It's that you're going to live in the world, but allow Jesus to live in you and through you so that you become salt and light to those around you. We're not meant to separate ourselves from those who don't have a relationship with Christ, those who don't know Christ. We are to spend time with them and be with them. But where Paul is going here is that those people that we look to who are our examples for life, they are the ones that I want to have in my closest associates. These are the ones that I want the closest to me because they are the ones who know Christ. If I'm going to go to someone for an opinion, I want someone whose opinion is being fed by the Word of God. That their opinion isn't just going to come as a result of their own vast experience, which it may be okay, but I want those who I am more closely aligned with, my closest friends, my closest associates, I want those people to be people that I not only go to, can get an opinion that is scripturally based, but I can go to people who are living this life out as well. He says, towards the tail end of this, he says, join with others in following my example, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. Some translations say, keep your eyes on those who live according to this pattern that we have given you. Because I don't want a role model, or I don't want to have someone who I closely associate myself with who is an enemy of the cross of Christ. I'll be friends with someone who is an enemy of the cross of Christ because I want them to love the cross and I want them to love the one who died on the cross, who willingly gave himself up for me. But for those that I'm going to go to, I don't want to have them be someone who's an enemy of the cross, where their destiny is destruction, where their God is their appetite. They're always giving into their appetites and their desires. I want someone whose citizenship is in heaven. I want someone, a role model in my life, who is eagerly awaiting Jesus, this Savior. I want someone who is living their life for Christ and is growing in their love and their knowledge of Jesus Christ, who themselves are saying with Paul, I want to know Christ because I know the difference that it makes in my life when I know Christ, and I'm growing in my knowledge of him. And let me just say this in closing. Knowledge of Jesus is more than just knowing details and facts about him. In fact, the Bible often uses the word to know. Do you remember right in the very beginning where Adam and Eve, Adam says he knew his wife? I don't have to give you any kind of education on what that means, right? But it's physically intimate. He was physically intimate with his wife, and this knowing, God all throughout the scriptures communicates the kind of knowledge, the kind of intimacy that he wants us to have with him, just like a husband and wife would be intimate with each other. You see, I want to know Christ, and I want you to know Christ, and I want you to have close friendships with people who know Christ, who can challenge you to know Christ better, who you can grow in this two-way relationship with Jesus Christ where he is expressing his heart for you through his word, and you're expressing your heart to him. And that as we together as a church are striving to know Jesus Christ together, then we can make him known together in our community. Let's pray. Precious Heavenly Father, I pray that today we would take some time to know Christ, that we would take this teaching to heart. Lord, as disciples, we're encouraging each other not just to learn for us, but to learn for someone else, that we would teach what you are teaching us. Lord, I pray that you will help us to value that relationship with you so much so that we would lose some things in our lives. Paul said, I've lost all things. But Lord, may we lose a little bit of TV watching to know you. May we lose a little bit of a variety of things that we can get wrapped up in that really aren't bringing a profit to our lives. But I pray, Lord, that you would help us to value our relationship with Jesus Christ. Help us to value your word. Help us to value this relationship, a relationship that you valued so much that you sent your son to die for us on a cross. We love you, Lord, because you first loved us. In Jesus' name.